turn the page to the Old Testament. Book of Kings, 2 Kings, chapter 22. 2 Kings, chapter 22. And reading verse 1. I want to speak a little while on Josiah, king of Judah. I haven't spoken this subject for many years, but it's been coming before me considerably of late. I hope it'll fit in at this juncture of the ministry. The greater they should read, but we haven't time to do so. I'm going to read a few sketches in this chapter and also in 2 Chronicles, and get a general picture of this man. 2 Kings 22 and verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name is Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bokshath. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. It came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Stephen, the son of Azariah, the son of Meshullam, the priest of the house of the Lord, of the Hilkiah, the high priest, and so on. So there was provision made for silver, gold, to repair the house of God. And look at verse 8, and Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Stephen, the scribe, I found a book of the law in the house of the Lord, and Hilkiah gave the book to Stephen, and he read it. So then we have the word of God brought before the king, verse 11, it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he read it closed. And then we have him commanding 5 men, and sent them to the house of the prophetess, and he said, because there is no prophet in Israel at the time, capable of answering his request, so we have a woman filling in. And here is the answer in verse 15. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent it to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book that the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hand. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Verse 19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, and thou hurst what I speak against this place, against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse. That burnt thy clothes and wept before me, I also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil that thou bring upon this place, and about the king's word again. The king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. The king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. He read in ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which is found in the house of the Lord. Well, down in the chapter 3, we have been cleansing the house of God and doing away with a lot of the corruption in the nation. In verse 15, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat had made it for the sin had made, both our altar and the high place, he break down and burn the high place and stand as small as a powder and burn the grove. Now let's turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We have a few verses here. verse 33, took away the abominations out of all the countries that came to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve even to serve the Lord their God. And all that they did departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, until the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Look down to the Father in this chapter 3. Verse 18, there is no Passover like that I kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. You did it all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Israel, all Judah and Israel at the present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The 18th year of the reign of Josiah was the Passover kept. He was 26 years of age at that time. And we have the tragic death of Josiah in the following verses. Come near the end of the chapter, verse 25, and Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah and their lamentation to this day. Made them an ordinance in Israel. Before they're written in the Lamentations. And the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness according to all that was written in the law of the Lord. And his deeds, first and last, behold, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. First of all, the question might arise, who was this Josiah? Like most of you know, he was the last good king that reigned over Judah. The period of time before this, the northern 10 tribes had been carried into Assyrian captivity. Southern kingdom Judah carried on for a while, but much departure in various ways, idolatry, and many other evils that crept in the house of God was neglected. He was the great grandson of Hezekiah, a well-known king in the Old Testament, a man that lived for God. Hezekiah was 25 years of age when he took the throne. He reigned 29 years. He was only 54 years old when he died. 15 years before that, he had a very serious illness. God told him to set his house in order so he's going to die and not live. Hezekiah didn't want to die. Turned his face to the wall and he went very bitterly. And the Lord spared him for 15 more years. A very interesting thing about Hezekiah, if you're familiar with the Word of God concerning him in both Kings and Chronicles and in Isaiah. One outstanding thing in his life was the pressure of the Assyrian Empire. And you know how that ended. Sennacherib and all his army encamped, came to the Lord, smote 185,000 men in one night. And he invited the same of faith to his own land and was assassinated by his son. To me, that is very significant. From the book of Isaiah, I would say that the power of Assyria was typical of the powers of Israel that will be assembled against them in the coming day. And as the army of Sennacherib was destroyed by a stroke from God himself, so the enemies of Israel in our coming day are going to perish in a tragic way. I think there's a little picture of it in Hezekiah. Hezekiah, you know, 3 years later, and I think the reason he didn't want to die was because he had no son to succeed him on the throne. 3 years after his illness, a son was born, Manasseh. 12 years of age, he took the throne, reigned for 55 years, the longest of all the kings, and the most wicked of all of them. Filled Jerusalem with blood and idolatry, slew many of the people, so much so that God never could overlook it. Later on in his days, God brought him an affliction and he recovered in measure and recognized that God was the Lord and had fear of him, changed his behavior. But he reigned for a long time, but God never overlooked the wickedness of Manasseh. When he passed away, his son Amon ascended the throne at the age of about 22 and reigned for 2 years and was assassinated And so we have Josiah coming to the throne at the age of 8 years. There's some interesting things, and I'm going to touch a few high spots in regard to his life that I hope will apply today and will follow on what we heard this morning. But I say, first of all, it's a very interesting thing, but about 350 years before he came on the scene, approximately, he was foretold by name in the book of 1 Kings, I should say, the book of Samuel, when Jeroboam ascended the throne and he introduced idolatry, and his prophet was sent up from Judah to protest against it, and he said that there'd be a man by the name of Josiah, and he burned the bones of men upon Jeroboam's altar. So 350 years later, approximately, this prophecy was fulfilled. I refer to this because I think it's well for the young, especially those of you that are going to school and college where you have the Word of God trusted and the reliability of the Word of God set aside. Ever keep in mind that in the Word of God, again and again, in pieces like this, we have definite fulfillment of prophecy hundreds of years after the prophecy was given. And everything that God has foretold will take place in due time. And that will apply to the coming of our Lord Jesus. He said that if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The date for that return has not been stated, then a separate date, all approved and true, but we're waiting for his coming, and it may be at any moment. Another thing about Josiah, and we're hearing this morning from our brother Crawford very profitably, conditions in the world around us, young people especially being bombarded with so many isms and untruths, and so on. Now, here is a young man, keep in mind, he came to the throne at the age of 8 years, and at the age of 16, 8 years later, he began to act for God. He was a young man in the midst of very difficult, trying, miserable situations, even given by idolatry. And there was wickedness, there was immorality, there was drunkenness. I know that because we have in the book of Jeremiah, who prophesied in the days of Josiah, he accused the people of their drunkenness and all that, and exposed their wickedness. Now this young man, raised up of God in dark and difficult and corrupt days, he shone brightly for God, and he was instrumental in bringing about a good measure of recovery in his day. But I want you to note as well that this young man, at the age of 16, began to work for God and to please God. He was a young man raised up in a particular situation. And I say again, he was the last godly king that ever reigned over Judah. He was succeeded by one son who reigned 3 months and was taken by the king of Israel, king of Egypt, to Egypt, and he died there. Another king, Jehoiakim, was put on the throne. Another son of the Josiah put on the throne, and he was wicked. Reigned 13 years and was deposed by the king of Babylon. His son Jehoiakim took the throne and reigned for 3 months, and he was carried into Babylon. Zedekiah, another son, took the throne in the place of Josiah for 11 years, and then the kingdom of Judah came to an end. So this man lived and reigned and served God in a very difficult day. The good news of the ministry this morning was directed to the young. I don't need to tell you, it's a long time since I was young. But I haven't forgotten my young days. I didn't have the opportunity in my young days that many of you young men have today. Opportunities for education and for development. Getting on. My young days weren't very easy. But I did learn a little of the truth of God in my young days. I remember the ministry from men long since gone home to heaven that directed me, instructed me, and guided me, and stirred my heart to live for God. that we can do nothing more today than stir the hearts of you young men and all the potential you have for God, ability, education, many opportunities in the world, but I want to tell you there's something more important than getting on in the world. I have seen, to my grief, young people with great aspirations to make a name for themselves in the world, sacrificing their spiritual life to get an education and to get on, and where are they today? They dropped out of the assembly to the grief of many of us. It often has been said the young men today will be the leaders of tomorrow. Right, you've got a number of young men here and young women. You know that the young sisters do not have a place of public prominence in the assembly. They serve God in their silence and by obedience to the word of God, by their dress and by their appearance. God has raised them up and are in the assembly the cornerstone. But the young men that are brought into prominence in the responsibility in the assembly, it's young men that God raises up and sends forth into his work. It's young men that he puts for the mission field, and also young sisters for that matter. Now the great potential in your life for God, and I hope you'll develop that. Get your sights set on things above, not on things on the earth. This is my exercise. And this is my desire, and this is I try to impress upon the young in the assembly of God today. The great need of spiritual men and women. Great need. Again, I emphasize that here is a young man that God used in a difficult day to stem the tide of departure, and a great measure he was able to bring it back again, a good measure of recovery in that day. I say the one thing most prominent in the exercise of this young man and his development in the things of God and in the testimony of God in his prayer was when the word of God was found. Now that's something worthy of note. Remember Jeremiah said, thy words are found in I to defend. Jeremiah began to prophesy during the reign of Josiah, and he continued to prophesy for 40 years during the reign, the remaining years of the reign of Josiah, and there were no kings that followed him until the nation was carried into captivity. That's why I wrote the Lamentation of Jeremiah. He saw the ruin of the testimony of God in Jerusalem, and he wrote those words of lamentation we have five chapters out of the following Jeremiah. His heart was broken, known as a weeping prophet. He saw the ruin of God's testimony in Jerusalem, and he wrote the Lamentation. What was it that stirred this young man? That they went about the plains of the temple and he got rid of some of the debris and all that had been accumulated there by wicked kings before him. They found a copy of the Word of God, seemingly had been lost sight of. We went back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17, we read responsibility to the king when he was anointed. He was to write out a copy of the word of God and read it and meditate in it. He was indeed a man of the council day after day, but many of these kings neglected the word of God, and in the days of Josiah, he came to the throne. The word of God was our savior. And while cleansing the temple, they found a copy of it, and they brought it out, and they read it. And the king was touched by it. He was broken by it. Have you read, Father, the different passages we find that he actually wept when he compared conditions in Israel with the Word of God? Things had changed so drastically, so much departure, so many things introduced to the testimony of God until it was practically ruined. He sought for help and guidance from part of the providence. He got words of encouragement because his heart was tender. Ah, it's good to have a tender heart. A heart that's touched by the word of God. We don't see very much of that today. I was going somewhere recently in my younger days, any time at a conference, ministry is given that touched our young hearts and are tender, sometimes broken. We find they're getting away to ourselves in a room somewhere and crying out our confession to God because of failure. We don't see that brokenness today. We become so accustomed to the conditions around us. The Word of God doesn't have the effect upon our hearts in touching us and warming us and searching us. Oh, that we might get back to former days and more the presence of God, and that the Word of God would have a definite effect upon our lives and change us. Honestly, lately it seems as if our Christianity is a secondary part of our life. Things of time and sense, business, automobiles, everything around us, even sports, as some people said to say, these are the things that seem foremost in our life. And the things of God seem to be a secondary consideration with us. The Word of God so affected this young man that he led to repentance and to recovery. And he brought about to make a recovery in Israel. Jeremiah chapter 3 tells us that on the occasion this recovery, it wasn't definite, it wasn't real. It was only feigned. Faintedly, they turned to the Lord for a time, or that he is off the scene. It wasn't long until they reverted to the former practices and so on. Until finally the stroke fell. Let this be a man with his brokenness and his tears and his repentance and his recovery getting back to the Word of God. God used him in a remarkable way. We will teach us again the effect that one man may have in a situation. He can go back through the years, go back through history on many occasions when God raised up one man. The influence that he could have over people. You think of Luther, you think of many others, you think of James Harvey, men of that day. The influence they had. Two young men today go in for God. Eternity alone will reveal how much your life is counted for God here upon earth. See that this man, in a dark and difficult days, concerned, exercised, burdened, touched with the Word of God, by his influence he brought good into Israel. There was a measure of recovery. And we read that he kept the Passover. This had been neglected evidently for a long time. But he kept the Passover. A lot is said about this Passover. You know it was a memorial feast in Israel every year. In the first month, the 14th day of the month, the Passover must be killed. It was to them a memorial feast. Kept yearly. It was lost sight of. They lost the appreciation of their deliverance out of Egypt, when they lost the sense of the keeping of the Passover. They brought it back again. And they're told there was no such Passover kept in Israel from way back many generations before. Passover has been kept, but not in the reality that we have in Josiah's day. So God used him in this manner in bringing recovery. Again I say, it shows what one man can do when in touch with God. Who was it that said, I guess? Recall, but I've heard it mentioned off the platform many a time, that the world is yet to see what God can do with one man that is in touch with himself. There's a lot of men here today, a lot of young men, a lot of young women. Would it be grand in a future day if men could look back, if the Lord doesn't come, remember so-and-so? Remember the influence he was for good? Remember how he helped in the assembly? How he touched our hearts in ministry? How he touched our hearts in the preaching of the gospel God used him? Men that are raised up, and there's need, great need of men today in the assembly. There's need of men in the work of God. May hearts be touched here during this conference. The brother prayed last night for revival, and how grand it would be if this conference began, and a revival in our midst, is not impossible. Here's a man, one man, in touch with God, concerned regarding conditions that are all around him. Yet in midst of that, getting back to the Word of God, the blessing that he brought to Israel, the glory he brought to the Lord, because he humbled himself and he wept before God, confessed his sin and the sin of the people, God used him. Were we in a condition that God could use you and me in his service? I'm not going to say very much more. The Passover, a whole lot in the life of this man, but he kept the Passover. It was a great blessing. And I want you to note something else here. It says that there's no Passover like this kept for many a long year. No Passover like this. Far above all that have been kept for many a generation. None like it. Another thing that I notice is, it is said of Josiah that there was none like him in turning to the Lord. None like it. That's an interesting statement. Not like it. Turns out unique as a man that turns to the Lord through the Word of God and God bless him through his sin. In contrast to this, I wanted to think of another man. Ahab had said of him that there was none like Ahab in his wickedness, stirred up by his wife Jezebel, none like it. God wickedness, sin, did partner into the nation of Israel to the extent that there is none like it. Would anyone here today desire to be like that? Not like him in wickedness? Oh, to be like this man, not like him, getting back to the words of God, not like him. Not like the Passover he kept. There's a lovely scene here. One man, a young man, stirred up early in life to be of use in the things of God. The tragic thing about Josiah is his life came to an end in a very short time. Unwisely, he went out against the host of Pharaoh that was on an expedition north to meet the king of Assyria. He went out against him unwisely. The result was he perished in the battle. The king of Egypt told him he had nothing, no dispute of him. Who withdraw from meddling in this situation, but he went ahead anyhow, and he perished, and he was lamented. The people of Israel lamented him. They missed him. He's referred to in the Lamentation of Jeremiah. They thought they were going to have much more blessing in this man Josiah, but his life was cut short at the age of 39. But they lamented it. They missed him. There's a man by the name of Jehoram, a king of Judah. It is said of him that he departed without being desired. His life was such that we're glad when he departed. What a shame, what a pity, that any of us is so lived. He is such a nuisance among the people of God that men would be glad when he departed. Not so this man, they lamented him. There are many others similar in the Word of God, and they were missed when they were gone. You know, in our few years of Christian life, just over now, over six decades, seven in fact, we know there are many men that have passed away, and they're greatly missed. Their seat was empty in the assembly. They were missed because they did good for Israel. Good for the saints of God. Here is one of them. They lamented bitterly for him. He was missed when he was gone. I wonder if we have been missed when we were gone. Makes me wonder sometimes how people will respond when we're gone. This man, he was missed. The closing word is, we read there that everything that he did was recorded. Written in the kings of Judah and Israel, a record. Don't forget, you and I are having a record written in heaven. Our witness is in heaven, our record is in heaven, our witness is on high. God is keeping a record of your life and mine. Now what is the record going to reveal in that day? Now these are practical things, practical thoughts that we leave them with you. We hope what we said regarding this young man, as a reminder of the darkness around us and the corruption and the wickedness and all the rest of it surrounding us in the world today. In the midst of all the corruption of that day, and there was much, through the young man that rose raised up by God, leader of his people, brought him back to the ways of the Lord, a lovely young man, showing the possibility that is within the reach of every one, especially looking to the young, reminding ourselves of this again. A young man in the midst of all the darkness, raised up of God, blessed of God, used of God, mystery is God. The record is left of the blessed record to consider. Thus the Lord would bless his word in his few remarks regarding his remarkable young man. The Lord blesses you with his name.